About a year ago, when the public health agencies across our nation were telling churches that they could not hold in-person worship services, Hebrews 10:25 received a lot of attention. Some Christians began citing this verse as a proof text that churches should not transition to online worship services during the pandemic. That would be a violation of Hebrews 10:25, was asserted. Hebrews 10:25 specifically says, "Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together." Well, the problem with this application is that it's a misapplication. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were suffering heavy persecution from the Jews. And so these Jewish Christians were thinking about leaving Christianity and going back to Judaism. And the entire book of Hebrews, therefore, is an apologetic. It's a scripture-based argument for why it's eternally better to suffer and die for Christ than to turn away from him in order to escape suffering and persecution. And the exhortation is to not forsake assembling ourselves together, therefore, is written to the person who's withdrawing from the church. It's written to the person who's withdrawing from the church. It's written to the person who's saying to himself, "I can worship God just fine on my own. I don't need to be in the assembly of God's people. I can pray to God, commune with God, meditate upon His truth in private." So Hebrews 10:25 is not about whether Zoom worship services are an acceptable way of coming together during a pandemic. Rather, it's about the professing Christian who says he doesn't need to be in regular fellowship with the body of Christ. He doesn't need to be in regular attendance when the saints are assembled. So the author of Hebrews says to such a person, yes, you do need to be in regular fellowship with the body of Christ, because when the body of Christ is assembled together, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to encourage other Christians and to stir up love and good works in other Christians. And this means that when we assemble together for Lord's Day worship, it's not just so that you can hear a sermon. Or when we assemble together during the midweek for a Bible study, it's not so that you can just learn something new about the Bible. In addition to hearing a sermon and learning something new about the Bible, we assemble together so that you and I can encourage one another and stir up good love and good works in one another. And what we learn from this is that Christianity is not a religion of individualism. We're not allowed to be isolationists. Rather, we've been redeemed by Christ and therefore joined to a community of other believers who have been redeemed by Christ. And we have a moral obligation to one another, a moral obligation to minister to one another, to minister during our times of assembly. So if the people of our church are assembled together on Zoom, then that's where we need to be in attendance. That's where we need to be ministering. And if the people of our church are assembled together in Elk Grove, then that's where we need to be in attendance. That's where we need to be ministering to one another. We must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Rather, we must come together with the aim of benefiting each other, encouraging and edifying each other so that we can all stand firm as the day of the Lord approaches. Now, as far as this pandemic goes, Hebrews 10:25 has more application to the reopening of California than it does to the closing of California. As California reopens in a couple of weeks from now, we'll be removing the capacity the capacity limits on churches, all those 25%, 50% limits are going to be removed. We're going to be getting rid of the physical distancing requirements. No longer do you have to keep 6 feet from each other after June 15. And we're going to be removing, completely ditching the blueprint for a safer economy. No longer red or orange or yellow or purple tiers. That's all gone as of June 15. We are able to be unhindered in our assembly together in Elk Grove. And we must return to assembling ourselves together so that we can improve upon our ability to stir up love and good works with one another, in one another. And the challenge many of us have, the challenge many Christians have, whether that's us or not, is to be determined. But the challenge many Christians have is that they have adopted a consumer approach to church. A consumer approach. The consumer approach is that which essentially says, I attend church and all of its functions for what the church can do for me. I attend church and its functions for what I can get out of it, how I can be fed. I go to church to hear a good sermon. I go to Bible study to learn something new. I go to be fed. And so long as the Christian has a consumer approach to church, then he's not going to perceive that God requires him to encourage others when he goes to church, to stir up love and good works when he attends a Bible study, to be ministering to other people when he is an active participant in the assembly of God's people. As a consumer, his only reasoning for coming to church is to hear a good sermon, and he can get that at home. He can listen to the latest rock star preacher on his computer. Or he can stream a sermon on his smartphone while driving to the lake for a little bit of Sunday R&R. And if the only reason to attend a midweek Bible study is to learn something new, well, you can do that on YouTube. In light of what we have just read from Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, the question we should be asking ourselves this morning is, where are the people of my local church assembled together? Where are the people of my local church assembled together? Or where are they assembling together during the week? And when you answer that question, that's where you should be when the church is assembled together. That's where you should be, because you have a responsibility to be ministering to people there, to be stirring up love and good works there in the assembly of God's people. And of course, there are going to be exceptions. Obviously, when you're sick or when you're traveling out of town, you're not going to be able to be in the assembly of God's people. This is understood, and this is common sense. But let me add another exception that needs to be stated, because it may not be quite as obvious. California has not yet reopened. California has not yet reopened as of today. There are a few more weeks before our public health department gives a green light for everybody to go back to in-person church services. And some people have already gone back to in-person church services, but others, because of specific concerns, specific health concerns primarily, they have not yet returned. And those who have already returned should not stand in judgment of those who have taken a more cautious approach. The more cautious among us are probably have good reasons for being cautious. And so I'm not trying to make anybody who's on Zoom this morning feel like they're doing something wrong, like today you are guilty of forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's not at all the point. Please don't hear me saying that. That is not the point. The point is that the church assemblies are much more than just hearing a sermon or learning something new. The church assemblies are for you to actively encourage other believers by stirring up love and good works in their lives. And this requires you to come alongside people with words and actions that will strengthen them in Christ Jesus. You may end up bearing a load for another person as you do this. Or you may end up listening to them as they share the grievances of their heart, giving a tender ear, a compassionate ear. Or you may end up praying with that other person, or being a companion to the other person, or sharing your own experience of God's faithfulness and loving kindness with that other person in order to encourage them. That's the point, brothers and sisters. It's about having a perspective of church that extends beyond yourself, beyond myself. It's seeing yourself as a vital member of a local church, and when the local church is assembled together, you're there. You're there because you have a ministry to perform. You're there because people are depending upon you. You're there because other people need to be encouraged by you. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Where the Holy Spirit has borne witness to you of your failings, of your shortcomings, of your sin, then remember that God pardons and forgives all who truly repent while trusting in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Repentance includes confession, and so we confess our sins to God, knowing that those who confess, He is faithful and just to forgive them their sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So brothers and sisters, let's spend a short period of time confessing our sins. Let's begin with a time of silent confession. And during this time of silence, I encourage you to lift up to the Lord through your prayer to Him any of the sins He has given you a burden of guilt upon your heart for. Any sins that He has shown to you, bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ. Leave them at the foot of the cross, because Christ takes them from there and they are removed from you as far as the east is from the west. And then after an appropriate time of silence, I will then lead us in corporate confession as well. Let's pray.